This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
On today's podcast, we do a lot of chatting.
Yeah, we do. We talk about being left out of my good friend Paul, who forgot that I'd even exist on this show.
Your good friend
it's
Paul.
It's only been 8 years.
Paul doesn't know who you are.
He hasn't adjusted.
Turf Wars, fishermen versus surfers inspired this. You're going to get angry on some people's behalves.
Plus, this will get you angry as well. When one person complained and ruined the fun for everybody, inspired by a dog bowl.
While on a theme of anger, imagine sitting there minding your own business on Wednesday and getting a text saying you're the worst.
With no context or explanation.
That's what I got sent from Greg High, so we're going to get stuck into him about that.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Super early yesterday morning, in the 6 o'clock hour, we were talking about doing someone a favour, something stuffing up, and they're not getting angry at you because, you know, you're doing them a favour.
Yeah.
And we got a call from our friend Paul. And and this is what happened.
How are you, Nathan and Nat?
Hi.
What about Sean?
What about me, mate? You got nothing for me.
No, Sean, you can leave the room for this. All right, Paul, continue.
Yeah, mine was...
Paul, that's... I'll see you next time, Paul.
No, we're listening. Now we are completely listening, Paul.
No, I'm
great story,
joking.
Paul.
Never been more interested.
You did say your friend, Paul. He's not my friend. He doesn't know my name.
Our friend, Paul. It's happened a fair bit, hasn't it, Sean?
Yeah, over the journey, every now and then, yeah. So, hey, guys. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, mate.
I'm just in the corner here.
He has been with us for 8 years. It's not like some blow-in that started last week.
I was thinking about this yesterday. It made me feel a little bit better. Because Matt Nielsen from the West Coast Eagles, the Wildcats last year when they got all presented their medals for winning the championship, he was missed out. And he was standing there. Now, he is a former Australian captain of the Boomers and he's assistant coach of the Wildcats. And I was watching as then they had to get someone to go up and whisper in the announcer's name and then basically find a medal and call him up.
Yeah.
And I took a medal off someone else and gave it to him.
Just thinking about that.
Well, here they've been super, super concentrating on the Secret Santa situation, making sure that nobody gets missed out because that would be horrendous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Was someone missed out last year? I'm going to say yes. I feel like someone was missed out 1 year.
Because of the system, we don't really know who's got who. So if
one person knows.
Well, she doesn't even know. Yeah. So when it comes to it, if, say, there's no present for Sean, we don't know who had Sean. There's no system
because
it's
a secret.
I do know who's got you, Sean. You're getting a present.
Okay. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
So yesterday we met a guy called Paul. And
love Paul.
The thing about Paul is, well, he knows who he likes.
Yeah,
how are you, Nathan and Nat?
Hi.
What about Sean?
What about me, mate? You got nothing for me.
No, Sean, you can leave the room for this. All right, Paul, continue.
Yeah, mine was...
Paul, that's... I'll see you next time, Paul.
No, we're listening. Now we know completely. Yeah, to that saying, Paul didn't get the prize.
Yeah. 8 years Sean's worked with us. Eight years, and he still gets left off.
It happens not fairly regularly, but it happens regularly that someone will, like, poor guy.
Sean.
Poor guy, you hear every
Paul
day.
Paul Shane. Well, Sean, what's your name? Let's go to Lee. Hello.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Yeah, we're on your lead. Now, do you get left out?
I did on a particularly big day.
Okay, what happened? Tell us.
On my wedding day.
When it's supposed to be all about the bride.
Yes. It's got to be all about the bride. My bridal party was in charge of organising all of the drinks for the SB and the limo ride and for our photo shoots. And they forgot about me. I don't drink alcohol, and they had packed all the booze for themselves and forgot to pack drinks for me.
So were you drinking water out of the windscreen wiper
or just like
container?
Waiting for the ice to melt?
I ended up drinking the limo driver's water.
Oh, my God, on your big day, while they tucked into their...
they're all getting boozed.
That is hilarious.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, a little bit
you.
Awkward.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Great example. Let's go to Tani in Helena Valley. Hello.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Tani. Good morning to you, Tani.
Okay,
hang up on her.
We know that was ironic, so we'll let you get away with it.
Got a price for you later, Tani.
I just didn't want him to feel bad.
Who gets left out, Tani?
I do. My mum actually doesn't call me by my name. She calls me Sue, which is my auntie's name.
Now, your mum presumably, I don't know, gave birth to you and named you herself.
Yeah, she did. And every time we talk, she's like, oh, Sue, oh, Tani, sorry.
How often does she see her sister?
Sorry?
How often does she see her sister?
Probably every day.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
so she is fairly prevalent in her life.
You know what?
Clearly, we know who she likes more.
She's from Geraldton, so.
Oh, okay, enough said. Thank you. We will always remember who you are, Sue.
Okay, thanks.
You'll always be Sue to us. Let's go to Julie in West Perth. Hi, Julie.
Nathan, Nat, and Sean.
G'day, Jules.
Oh, Jules. Jules, very inclusive. Nice work. Do you always get left out?
I did. I used to work for a very large corporate law firm, about 200 staff, and I used to do the night shift, so 5 o'clock till about 10 or 11 as a night secretary.
Yeah. Yep.
And everybody got beautiful embossed Christmas invites put on their desk, except because I wasn't there during the day, they forgot me. So I came in during the evening and did my night evening work, just got on with it, very quiet, thought, wonder where everybody is.
Yes.
And two of the partners came back and said, oh, why aren't you at the Christmas party?
Oh! And you didn't know anything about it.
What Christmas party?
Oh, my God.
And I bet they were having the best time ever. Was it like, fully
laid on?
It
would have been really upmarket, yeah.
Did you end up going?
No.
Well, I guess you felt like you hadn't been invited. You're just going to roll in now.
She had a bit of work to do.
Just carried on working.
Julie, that is a classic case of out of sight, out of mind, isn't it?
No. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
There's a story we've heard that's made us a little bit angry.
Yeah.
So there's a dog park, okay?
In Mount Hawthorne.
Yeah. And one person has complained about a communal watering bowl.
Okay.
All right? They said that it's a possible drowning risk for children. Now, we here at NOVA don't want any children to drown.
No.
No. It's basically an enlarged Tupperware container, which has got water in there for dogs on a hot day. Now, I think anyone that takes their dogs out and has a healthy, active lifestyle, like you two, should be encouraged. I think it's fantastic. It brings communities together. And you have to also worry about the welfare of your dog.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, it is very important that your dog stays hydrated.
How hot does Perth get?
Yeah, I took the dogs for a walk yesterday down at the Adderdale foreshore. We do the full length of the park. There's only water at one end. By the time we got to that end, they were pretty thirsty. It was about 6 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
It's still hot.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep them hydrated. Really important.
So I would be thinking, okay, if you've got a young child, if they're barely crawling or they're crawling, then they'd have to put their head inside this bucket and
the
stay
risk
there.
Is because they're top heavy that they can they can drown in a bucket of water because they tip into it.
But if it's in a park,
correct. There's people everywhere, and also surely if you're in a park, you're watching what your kids are doing. It would be the same
as dog,
the
you're
river.
Watching what your dogs are doing.
But like, I mean, Hyde Park where there are ponds, Queen's Park where there are ponds,
absolutely.
King's Park there's ponds.
Yep.
So you have to keep an eye on them. That's just the way it is. I don't understand why
large
nothing's happened.
Container
it's just a parent has said, oh, something. Something could happen here.
The Tupperware container has been taken away and the City of Vincent has put up a note saying, please be advised that the City of Vincent staff recently removed the dog bowl bath from its location as it is not permitted in a public area due to occupational health and safety concerns. A new dog drinking fountain is being arranged for this location. Thank you for your cooperation with this matter. And then someone has written in black text across it, tosses.
Like, you'd better fast track that fountain, seriously.
I get the safety aspect.
Yeah,
everybody
does.
But there's a bit ridiculous.
They're saying that they are possibly thinking of doing some outdoor shower situation, so the dog.
But is it a bath or is it a drinking facility?
It's big enough that a dog could sit in it.
That's the replacement one that they put down. So basically, that would be the size of a carton of beer.
Yeah.
That would be the size of a carton of beer. That one now, the replacement one's been taken as well. So my point with this is, and I think that, you know, anything that can endanger children is terrible, but we now live in a world where if one person complains, it can change everything. And that sucks because there's always that one person that complains about everything. You know what I mean?
It is true.
Is it illegal? And I hate those people with absolute passion. Are the council then, are they liable if someone goes, I complain about that?
Oh, yeah.
And then
straight
20
out.
Years this, down
and
the track,
this is
that
the issue.
Go, oh,
straight out.
Sued.
Straight out. So what the council's doing there is right. I mean, they're covering their asses.
Yeah.
They really
they
are.
They don't have a choice.
Then if someone was to drown or some incident was to happen, then they can turn back and go, there was a lodged complaint, you ignored it, it's on you. So I get that, and this is PR and this is public safety and stuff, but I'm more concentrating on these people that complain. I was going to use another word. These people that complain about everything. Ugh.
And because they complain, somebody has to act.
Well, the masses are the ones who get ripped off.
When how many hundreds of people have been perfectly happy with the situation every single day?
Yeah.
They're not going to write letters of affirmation saying, we love the dog bowl, you should leave it there. Because they're happy with the status quo. One person says, nah, I don't like it, or nah, there's a problem with it. It has to go.
About how liable society is these days. Remember, it all started?
Yeah.
It all started when that woman spilt coffee in her lap through a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Probably 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. More than that. Yeah.
And then she got scolded because it was 1 degree over what they thought it was supposed to be or whatever.
It didn't say warning hot coffee on the lid, even though she ordered a hot coffee. That kind of thing.
We want to know about that. When one person complained, and this can be in your workplace, we've got a very, our workplace is very different here, and a lot of things could be, I think, officially complained about, but we're all like-minded. So it'd be like us all having a great time here as we do, and one person coming in new and going, I don't like that, and then suddenly it's off the table.
Yeah.
God, I hate that person.
That's when we'd boo them for sure.
Yeah.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We're talking, inspired by the story of the City of Vincent, who removed a dog bowl from a dog park because one person wrote a letter. Now, I understand, you know, they have to cover their butts. That's, you know, standard council procedure.
Yeah, and
they're
saying it could be a possible, like, risk for children drowning, you know, and we get that, but it's like, come on.
So are they draining the ponds at Hyde Park?
I know.
It's another good question. What happens if there's a large body of water on the road? Like, or
a puddle?
Possibly a puddle in the middle of the park, which happens. What happens then?
Anyway, we want to know...
The dogs can drink from it.
What was ruined when one person complained? Hi, Christy.
Kirsty.
Hi, Kirsty.
Hi, guys. How are
you? Good, Kirst.
Good, Kirsty. Okay. What did people complain about?
Okay. I used to work for an indoor swimming pool. As you know, they get extremely hot in there, like 45 degrees.
Kirsty, you're just in a wind tunnel there, mate, or you're walking. We can hear the wind a lot.
Oh, sorry. I'm in a wind tunnel.
All right, start again.
That's right. Good day. So I used to work in an indoor swimming pool and it gets really, really hot in there. So like 45 degrees plus.
Mm.
We used to have refrigerated water fountains for the customers and for our staff.
Yes.
Because it's so hot.
Yeah.
Well, we had somebody who wrote one letter to the council and complained that the ice cold water coming out of the refrigerated water fountains upset their sensitive teeth.
Oh my God! You're not being forced to drink it!
So, did you just send them a tube of Sensodyne?
Well, we could have, but no, the council decided that they would remove the refrigerated water fountain.
No way.
I hate that person.
There is no risk to anyone else. I know, you know, we get back to the water bowl.
That's not a general risk to
population.
That
is no risk. Oh, no. Wouldn't you like to? What would you like to do to that person?
That's like eating at a restaurant and not liking mayonnaise and demanding it to be removed from everything. And even though, like,
you can order anything else, you can do whatever you like.
Just take your own water.
You don't have to go to the restaurant. Who's this mayonnaise place?
We're so angry about it.
Kirsty, did you find out who it was?
Yeah, we knew that it was a regular who used to complain about lots of various things, but that was the worst one that he'd complained about. Our response to him was that he could quite happily drink out of the taps, like the hoses
that
we used to clean the pools and the surfaces and everything.
Yep.
And then he proceeded to say that we were quite rude because he could get germs from that.
Or I got an idea. How about like filling up your water bottle from the chill tap and then leaving it for a while for it to cool down?
Or warm up.
Or warm down, sorry.
But we come from a society where the squeaky wheel gets the most oil.
That's exactly right, Kirsty.
And we all listen to the squeaky wheel and react.
Okay, that's a cracking example. Let's go to Brad in Beach for a hi, Brad.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Good, Bradley.
All right, did one person complain about something?
Yeah, my cousins, they used to live on, well, they still do, they live on a cul-de-sac in Beachborough, and we used to kick the footy out the front on the grass and on the road, and their next-door neighbour complained to the Rangers, and we had the Rangers rock up and told us off for kicking the footy on the road, and we weren't allowed to do it ever again.
In a cul-de-sac?
Yeah. It
was that's like, the great Australian right.
I lived in plenty of cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, and then you yell car when somebody's coming.
Yeah, that's right. It was about 12 hours on the street, and yeah, it just ruined it for everyone, but they... they end up getting all these complaints and they had their letterbox lit on fire a couple of times and a few of the neighbours weren't happy about a few things I was complaining about.
I don't want to kick them right in the cul-de-sac.
I mean, what were they complaining over? The ball might go through someone.
Children enjoying themselves. We don't want that in our front yard.
Ridiculous.
They used to walk their dogs and just stare at us and it was horrible. It was like, get a life.
I love how they're staring at you like you're criminals and you're just being like Aussie kids out kicking a footy.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
I mean, I think that's great when I see that in the streets these days.
Me too.
You want to encourage people getting outdoors more often.
Oh, right.
We're enraged.
We're enraged about that too, Brad.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Okay, we here on Nathan, Nat and Sean and Nova are against war.
We are. Totally.
Give peace a chance, totally. We say.
Yeah. There's a war breaking out at Trigg.
Oh.
Trigg Point.
Surfboard riders up that way.
It's fishermen versus surfers. Yeah, so...
Okay, give me the background.
The surfers are getting really angry because the fishermen aren't considering the fact that they're surfing there and some of them getting hooked. They're actually casting over top of them.
They're literally hooked on surfing.
Furthermore, they're pouring out the burley and guts into the water, which therefore will attract sharks, which of course here in Perth, I don't know if you've heard, it's a problem. And the fishermen on the flip side... are angry with the surfers because they're saying they're surfing near the places that they don't want to fish. Now, the surfers are saying, we can only really safely surf during the day because, you know, they don't really recommend you doing night surfing.
Yeah. And people fish at night.
Yes, absolutely. And you can fish at night. So you have 24 hours to do what you need to do and we have like 12.
Yes.
So
if even that, because I imagine that. Once the breeze changes around,
I
don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd take the kids to Trigg and push them off the banks, particularly in summer, because there's the little reef that goes out there.
Whether they want to or not.
Yeah, exactly. whether they want to or not. And so that's a massive plus for surfing, obviously. Trigg Beach, very famous.
Yeah.
And then you've got the fishermen that who are fishing in the same spot because... The breakwater is where those bigger fish come along.
Yeah. Okay, so the fish are definitely better in that spot, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, right, that is a bit of a problem, isn't it? Because I thought there's lots of coasts, could that not go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Because there's only a few specific surf spots along the coast, right?
Yeah. So we'd like to talk to you, especially if you're a fisherman or if you surf out in Trigg Point, that'd be great. But I want to talk about territory wars.
Yeah, okay? Definitely.
I had one in my old apartment block with my car park. It enraged me. It's my car park. And I had two. And then there's people that decided to move in with three people into their two-bedroom apartment, which I'm sure is a couple and someone else. They ended up parking in my spare spot. And I would write note after note after note saying... Like, it was starting to be polite right at the start, and then I was like, no, like, get
it's yours.
I pay
even though
for
you
this.
Didn't want to use it,
yes,
per se,
I,
but
that is for my
did.
Guests
yes.
to come over. And then it got even worse when someone started taking my actual car park as well. So then I had no car park. So then this one ute was parked there for like a week, and I was just enraged. So I was parking out on the street, and I couldn't find this person. So I ended up writing this, like, just angry, hateful letter on there.
Not even passive aggressive.
No, it was aggressive.
Super aggressive.
Super aggressive. And then. They ended up, at the end of the week, I get this like little shy little knock on the door and then I find it was a tradie that was there and he thought no one was home during the day and he said, I'm so sorry, I've been parking in your spot. And I said, well, you know what? You had the balls to come up and say that to me. Well done,
yes.
buddy.
Territory wars.
No. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We're talking about territory wars at the moment. It's fishermen versus surfers at Trigg.
Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong?
I'm
so surfers
sure.
are getting hooked by the fishermen, and they're also chucking blood, guts, and burley out into the water.
I really don't like that, but I see both sides.
And the fishermen
story.
Are saying, "There's a whole ocean. Why don't you like surf away from where we're fishing?"
And that's pretty much what the surfers are saying.
Yes,
because there's a whole ocean for you to fish in.
See. We don't know where to go.
Don't put the burley out with the surfers up.
But it's a war.
Luckily, it will never affect Nathan or I.
No.
I'll be out there.
Sam's in Wembley. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you going?
Hey, Sam.
Has there been a turf war?
Yeah, I'm a real estate agent.
Mm.
And we put out our signs every Saturday morning for our home open.
Yes.
We've got pretty strict council rules on where, what time, how long they can stay out for.
Yeah.
And so I put mine out 7 o'clock every Saturday morning. And last Saturday, I put mine out with my husband. He came along with me to help. Yeah. And as we're driving back past one of them,
yes.
real estate agent from another company is shifting mine out of the way.
No!
So he can grab Primo's spot.
Spot,
yes,
yeah.
But you got there first.
Exposure.
So what did you do?
Well, I was wearing my pyjamas because that's what I do. I get my husband to run out and do all the signs while I pull over and, you know.
Yeah.
And so we both jumped out and started, what are you doing, mate? Get your hands off it. Put it back. And he kind of was very, and it just walked away as fast as he could. And then when I drove past later in the day, my sign was gone.
What?
And I found it, the spikes that it had been bent up into a, you know, scrunched up and had been thrown into someone's bush.
Oh, no,
that poor woman.
Sam.
Sam, this is war.
You're
Sam.
Right, Nathan, that would have hurt.
Okay, so tomorrow is another home open day. Is it going to be on again tomorrow?
I'll get behind him.
Oh, well, that's up to him, really, isn't it?
Okay, wait there. Sam, so you know, so obviously from his sign, you know who it is.
Oh, yeah.
So have you complained to them?
No, I haven't, because I felt like I made my feelings known at the time.
Yeah, but then he not only like, if I was him, I would have like gone, okay, yeah, no worries, but then for him to like angrily throw you into a bush.
I can't say 100% that it was him who did it, so it's been a bit tricky.
Sam, do you reckon tomorrow morning this is your opportunity to get back? Will you try to get there earlier? Do you think that this person may try to beat you to the punch?
Will you wear proper pants?
No.
So many questions.
Maybe he could just drag himself out of bed a little bit earlier so he can get the best.
I think it's first in, best dressed.
I think what we need to do is send the Casanovas there to guard it.
is Wembley your patch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's full on.
Go down and watch tomorrow, people.
That is a turf war.
That actually got me angry.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. Tanika's in Tapping. Hello.
Hi.
Tanika.
We're having territory battles. What's going on?
Well, basically, I have three sisters.
Yeah.
And we all have our own permanent seats in the car and at the dinner table.
Yes.
And when we have a friend over, or even if someone just decides to sit in the spot, we have very, very aggressive fights over our seats. Like, those are our seats. You're not allowed to sit in them.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point before where we've broken a coffee table my mum got, and we'd only had it for like 3 weeks or something.
Oh, my God. You physically battle over where you sit for dinner.
Oh, definitely.
All right. Wow, I need to know the seating arrangement for the car. So where's your seat?
My seat, we have a Kia.
Yep.
So there's three sections,
yep.
the front seat, the middle section, and the back section, yep. and I sit in the middle section.
Yep.
Left or right?
And left.
Right.
Left, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So I can get out easier.
Yeah.
And almost every single time we get in the car, my younger sister, Isabella, wants to sit in the middle, and we have physical fights, obviously, because that's my seat.
We are stronger than
you've clearly stated.
What about the dinner table? Where's your seat at the dinner table?
My is right next to Dad at the top of the table.
Yes.
Is that prime location, is it?
Yeah.
Everybody,
because
Dad's
you can
awesome.
See the TV and everything.
That's the spot.
So it's the spot with a view.
Who always tries to take your seat? Is it your little sister again?
Yeah.
She's
a friend over.
Isabella.
What's her name? Isabella. She's got a problem, Isabella.
She needs to understand the concept of seniority. Like, you've been there longer, you get the choice. That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I say that as the youngest in my family, and that was the way it was. I got nothing.
Every day when I pick up the kids, one of the kids will try to buck the odds there.
We used to have to have a roster system to get around it.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I was the youngest, so I got everything secondhand. And then when I got something new, like jocks, my brother would wear them. My brother would wear my jocks. That's disgusting.
That's gross.
What about that time
gross.
He stole your cowboy boots?
Oh, that was a dream. I had a dream that I had a pair of cowboy boots. And my brother,
it's very real.
And then I woke up and I couldn't find them. And I went off because he took them. And Mum told me, you don't have cowboy boots.
Dream shattered on both fronts. Now he's rich and he has as many pairs of cowboy boots as he wants.
Boots.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
There's our Wildcat, Greg Heyer. And as we know, the Wildcats are taking on the Illawarra Hawks, the team they beat for the championship last year. That game will be on Sunday. What day are we? Sunday. Greg, we all waited for you at the door this morning to greet you on the way in, but you're not here.
Yeah, look, I apologise. I had to meet with the... I've got a strength and conditioning class this morning, and I'm going to meet with the coaches just to make sure that we smooth over some things and make sure we get the huge win this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's a great lie.
out for breakfast, eh? Eggs, Benny?
Do you guys want a skinny cappuccino?
I just put one over. Hey, Greg, the Illawarra Hawks, right? Kevin Lish has left their team, and it seems like just about every team in the competition have added NBA imports and stuff. Where do they sit?
Look, they've had a sort of an inconsistent year. I think they're sitting seventh on the ladder out of the eight teams. So Like, it's pretty crazy. I think it shows the parity across the league. I think there's about four teams pretty much like in near the same or similar records. But then, I mean, they got beat quite convincingly over in New Zealand, and within 48 hours, they just won by 30 points on their home court. So, yeah, it just shows, I guess, how competitive this league is, and it showed last night. Adelaide were last and ladder, and they got beat quite convincingly against Brisbane, and then they ended up smashing them last night on Brisbane's home court. So it's a weird sort of thing, so it would definitely be a tough battle.
Yeah, it's one of those things in all sports, particularly basketball at the moment, you find that if you don't win your home game, first of all, you've got to lock out your home games, you've got to win them all, and you'll definitely make the finals. But, like, for example, you guys, you know, pumped Sydney, and you've won something like 12 or 13 in a row against them here in Perth, and then you fly over the other side of the country, and then you go down. You know, it's one of the home ground advantages, massive.
Oh, no doubt, and I think that's the thing. We'll see. If you can steal a game on the road, like, you feel pretty good about yourself. And I actually don't mind. Like, there's been some times in the road where we've played, say, on a Friday in Melbourne and we've lost. And if we back it up on, say, or Sunday or Monday, we feel pretty good about ourselves because you're pretty G'd up. You've just been ripped apart by your coaches. You had a rocket. So you just really want to perform. So the next time you play, you're pretty motivated. And they may have a couple of days off. So, yeah, look, away games are really, in this league, are huge. If you can steal one, it is, as we
like
see,
a double game.
Definitely help it down in the record, yeah, for sure. Mm.
Well, the one thing we've got going for us here, or two things actually, is firstly the Red Army, which just like pumps you guys up. But also, I find that the angles in the arena is so disorientating when you're looking up there that I think other teams are like, oh, whoa, they feel drunk when they're in there.
And not to mention the fact that our giant heads are floating around in the crowd to put the opposition off when they're trying to take a free throw.
No doubt. I mean, if you've got Lockie Reed in the background and his big bald head, they'll distract anyone. So,
yeah.
I don't know what they like. There's been some opposition fans that reckon that the way the stadium is built, like, it's hard to shoot. But that's
I get that.
Once you're in there,
when you look up, you sort of feel dizzy because it's like the roof's all different angles. Anyway.
I remember being at the very first game that the Wildcats played at the arena, and I saw the opposition team walk on to do the warm up,
and they all threw up.
And they were all like just standing there, looking around in awe because nobody had ever played in a stadium anything like it.
Yeah, it is. It is a unique sort of stadium, and the way you sort of it fills out is pretty good. But they reckon, like, there's been actually some, not studies, but when people put up stats, like, across the league, they reckon the shooting percentages at the arena are, like, quite significantly lower than other arenas, and that's the way it is built. Yeah. Just because, you know, there's a vast difference from where the grandstand is to the ring and just the whole sort of dynamic. But I just reckon I'm just a bad shooter. But if there's an excuse,
you're dragging the average down, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly right.
So, okay. So I just want to bring up an issue. I've got an issue.
What's the issue?
Okay. So minding my own business on Wednesday and at 1:59 p.m., I get a text message from my very, very, very good friend, Greg Heyer, that says simply, "You're the worst."
That's it. No explanation. We discussed it yesterday,
Greg.
What
are you referring
What's
to?
What's the context? I mean, we know he is, but why are we stating it at this moment?
When was the message?
1:59
on Wednesday.
Okay. And, oh, all right. But let's go back to what happened on Tuesday afternoon.
What?
Well, what happened?
What do you mean what happened?
Well, did you receive a phone call?
Yes, and I rang you back and you didn't answer me back.
All right, but get out of this, Nathan, but the other two. So if you're having a conversation and you're, like, so G'd up, you're pumped to tell someone about something.
Oh, my God.
I know what you're saying.
And, like, this is, like, groundbreaking stuff. Say, like, Shawnee, I had the best tip in the world. They were going to pay, like, $1.05. And I was, look, we got to put our whole mortgage on it. Yes. I tell you, and you go, thanks, man. See you later.
No,
a really good chat.
Hey. What do I do? What do I do every night between 5 and, like, 7:30? What am I doing?
Well, we can't discuss it on radio.
I am watching the news so intently and writing down notes and stuff like that. You know
that's
this.
A lie.
You've known
you
this during our entire friendship.
Look, I call it news sometimes as well.
Hey. you're the worst.
All right.
I can't believe it's taken you 5 years, Greg, to work that out.
I think we've settled it. Before we let you go, Greg, is there anything else you need to tell us?
Yeah, there really is.
I don't think there is.
Yeah, no, there really isn't.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Everybody, who votes on who's the worst?
Yeah. It's the worst.
No, I was joking, guys. I've been thinking, I've been taking up boxing lately.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I've been versing a pirate who's extremely good at it.
Oh, really?
A pirate?
Yeah, he has a great left hook.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.